right, you primitive screwheads. Listen up.
Guys, we have a code red.
You mean code red the hospital emergency alert, code red the computer worm, or code red the cherry flavored soft drink from makers of Mountain Dew?
One ring to rule them all.
One ring to find them.
Oh, Jesus.
One ring to bring them all.
And in the darkness, bind them.
Do you know what the problem is with you kids today? You guys think that all science fiction started in 1977 with Star Wars.
Where's my super suit?
What?
You tell me when I saw this woman!
What about movies like Forbidden Planet, The Day the Earth Stood Still, Solaris? What about Logan's Run? Did you ever see that?
No, it's probably some dumb sports movie anyways.
Sports movie?
Okay, we gotta put a spotlight on this geek stuff, man.
What the fuck are you bitches babbling about?
We need to bring this to the mainstream, to the people.
Wow, this is even better than I imagined.
We have to show the world that it ain't just about comics and toys.
I have to possess this comic.
Hey, I tried to teach you how to handle comics in the sixth grade, but oh no, you wanted to play Little League instead.
Looks like a really rich fourth grader lives here.
Look at this place, man.
Go look, he's got a billion toys.
I have a Mego Isis action figure.
Mighty Isis.
We're not about dressing up as Green Lantern.
How often does one see a beloved fictional character come to life?
Every year at Comic-Con.
And hoping for that one day, that one fracking day, for Cylons to bring us down a possible space-age future shit.
That's exactly what it's about.
Oh, really? Yeah, the shit ain't gonna work.
Oh, man! I'm still geeking out about it!
All right, look. There's only one return, okay? And it ain't of the king, it's of the Jedi.
Looks like we got more Lucas hounds here to mock Roddenberry.
You'll have to excuse him. He's not down with the trilogy.
There's only one trilogy, you fucking morons.
Oh, Star Wars geek.
Oh, I'm the geek? Look at you two whipping out your preciouses.
I'm gonna kick your ass back to the Shire if you don't shut your fucking mouth.
Where the stars in this piece of shit?
All right, guys, you have your mission. Go forth and wreak havoc.
I say we stay here and fight it out.
Come on, you fuckers think that just because a guy reads comics, he can't fight? Shit! I'll fucking take all you want!
Yes. It is our birthday.
It is.
It's our four-year birthday. We're 4 years old.
We've been doing this shit for 4 years.
Yeah.
It's a long time.
Yeah, I'm not so impressed by 4 years old. I mean, we're marking it and all that, but 4 years, really, that's not, to me, like, it's a great milestone and all that. I'm not going to, like, detract from it or anything, but I'm much more looking forward to episode 200.
Just cause?
Just cause.
No, there's some shows out there that have, like, episode 300 come and gone already, but they do, like, three episodes a week.
Well, that's that's those shows.
No, I'm just saying.
We're talking about this show.
You know what? I consider both to be a milestone.
Who did 300?
Comic Geek Speak blew past 300 half a year ago, I think.
Yes,
well, a year ago maybe. I don't even know.
That's the kind of thing you enjoy.
I don't listen to comic.
I'm just saying.
I listen to other shows, but I'm not a.
I see. I'm gonna come right out of the 4 year old gate swinging.
Okay.
And I'm swinging right.
Cake is involved?
No, no cake.
Oh.
I'm coming out and I'm swinging right at Old Restless.
Old Restless is a longtime listener of this show.
Uh-huh. And don't you dare defend him about what I'm about to say.
You know, sometimes I defend him and sometimes I don't.
You know,
Not today.
Know what? You know, we have an open forum over at BigKevsGeekStuff.com.
Absolutely.
And that's fine. And we have, we should remind everybody, and this has to do with it, so it's not like it's out of the blue, yes. But we are in the middle of, yet the tail end of the Big Kev's Geek Stuff Begathon 2010, where we're asking the listeners, if you can, to go over to BigKevsGeekStuff.com and find that donate button in the upper right-hand-ish corner and donate a couple of bucks for the show to help us out repairing and replacing and doing things with equipment that is desperately needed for us to keep bringing you Big Kev's Geek Stuff each and every week. And we want to thank all of the many listeners who have donated. Some of them have donated a great deal, which
sure.
We're very appreciative of. Some of them have donated a couple bucks here and there, and we're just as happy
about
those donations. Now, that said, I want to address Old Restless. I'm going to address you directly. See, I'm speaking to you now, old restless. Are you so stupid as to think that the money that we're asking people to donate goes to our personal spending?
Our personal whimsies.
Yeah. Do you think that we're asking people to donate money to help upgrade and improve and replace equipment for this show, and then we're going out and buying DVDs with it? You fucking moron. Are you so stupid as to think that? Well, let me set the record straight for you, you fucking ass. Not a single dime of any money donated to this program by anybody goes into any pocket of any person involved in this show. That money is going strictly into replacing and repairing equipment owned by everybody involved in this show. Before you write in and tell us that we own the equipment, it's owned by everybody involved in the show. And it is in desperate need of repair and being replaced in some cases. And that's why we're asking. Because we have revenue sources for the show, old stupid. We sell t-shirts. We have advertising on the site. We sell advertising here on Big Kev's Geek Stuff. You can advertise right on our show here. And other things that we do that are show related that provide us with an income. Provides the show with an income that allows the show to perpetuate equipment-wise. And like anything else, sometimes with the economy and everything else being the way that it is, people aren't able to do the things that they would like to. They're not able to buy a t-shirt for a friend, or they're not able to do whatever it is that we're doing that raises money for the show. So, just to be clear, you stupid fucking dickhole, not a dime of any money donated to this program goes into my pocket, OG's pocket, producer TBA's pocket. Nobody gets money from this begathon that goes into their pocket. That money is strictly going to equipment, repair, and replacement and rejuvenation in some cases. Now, if you have a problem with that, old asshole, I suggest that you go fuck yourself, because that's the only solution you're going to get from me. Now, as to OG and my's personal spending, when we buy stuff, that's our personal money that we're laying out to get those things. That's money that we are laying out. Now, that said, again, I feel like I shouldn't have to explain this, but I will, because apparently old Restless is a fucking fourth grader who doesn't understand anything. So I have to explain it to him like a child. So therefore, old Restless, when OG and I, like, for example, when I used a gift card I had gotten for Christmas to buy the South Park season 13 for myself, and it happened to be associated with the show, we talked about it on the show. If you'll recall, the week before that, old faggot, I said I didn't have any extraneous money to go and buy DVDs, and we just had to review what we knew came out, just listing things that we knew came out. So there. So once again, if any of you listeners are kind enough to donate to the Big Kev's Geek Stuff Begathon, please know that your donations are going to the repair, maintenance, upkeep, and replacement of equipment used for this show, not going into our pockets to purchase, what did he call it?
The most useless shit, and then expect fans to pay for your shit that right. actually has a use.
Right. So, just so we're clear about that, I hope that answers your question or your query or your point directly, old shitbag. And if you have a problem with that, don't fucking listen anymore. That's it. That's the end.
I still feel the love in the room.
Do you?
There's still some love. There is still some love.
It's just, it's, you know what? It's just balls. It's just balls to say that kind of shit.
Yeah, look, on I mean, there. You know, we look, we live our own lives outside of this show. There are countless days with other things that we do, and all, you know, we've never really asked. I don't think we've ever really asked for anything else before.
Nope.
When we started off the show, it was all funded out of our own pocket. It's continued to be that way for
the past 40 years. Yeah, well, we have created some revenue streams,
but
with
it's all
t-shirts
gone directly back into the show.
Exactly.
It's back into additional, you know, getting us at a con or
When we used to do cons on a pretty regular basis, and we had items available for purchase. Those kind of things went into the funds for the show, but clearly. Old moron doesn't understand that there are costs involved in the show that keep perpetuating.
Sure.
And when we don't do a bunch of cons in a row because we both have lives, or we don't, you know, or we don't have the revenue streams that we once had. Therefore, when we get to the point where we're at now, where we really don't have anything in the coffers, we have some things that we want to do. I mean, if they happen, they happen. If they don't, they don't. But that said, until those things happen, we're in some dire straits here with regards to some of the equipment.
Sure.
So, and that is the only reason we made the decision to ask the listeners for help. That's all.
And no one's,
and lots of them have responded.
And no one's obligated. It's not like we're like, you know, it's not like we're not even threatening to say,
well, we're not,
the show's going to get canceled.
We're not yanking the show.
We're just saying.
We're not. There's no danger of us pulling it.
If over the past 4 years, 186 episodes, including tonight's show, we have perhaps provided you with a laugh, helped you get through a car ride or a commute into work one morning, and you can give us a buck like you'd give a homeless guy on the street. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
And if you don't,
that's all.
We're not, no harm, no foul.
Nope.
We keep doing
and
the
you
show.
Know what?
And if
we have
there
gotten
are problems,
yeah,
we deal with them.
We have gotten plenty of notes from people who have donated a couple of bucks.
Absolutely.
Notes of thanks, notes of a praise and appreciation, and so on and so forth. And for this ungrateful piece of shit to say that, even to suggest that what we might be doing with the donation is buying bobbleheads and useless shit. It clearly, he's a fucking moron.
It only takes one bad apple.
Well, that's okay. That's okay. I mean, if everyone else, you know, if that's the way that everyone else thinks, I feel sad for you if that's the way that you think. You know, we've been doing this, like OG said, we've been doing this for a long time, you know, and clearly, if you've been listening as long as old shitbag, you certainly noticed that we have been having some leveling problems. We've been having some sound issues and some other issues with the production of the program. And the reason we're having those issues is because we're at the point where we need to upgrade our equipment. And this isn't to say that we're not contributing out of our pockets.
That was the other thing I wanted to throw in there. And then I think we need to move on and let this lie. But it's not like we're asking you to fund all of our repairs.
Exactly.
I'm still laying out money. Kev is still laying out money every single week. You know, this, that, new adapter, new
this,
little things, new
piece
cord,
of this,
new
bit of
microphone.
That. Exactly.
Whatever it is we need. You know, maybe a new piece of software to help with. Whatever it is we need, we're still laying out money every week. We're just asking if you're feeling generous.
We're at the point where we need, where it's not a nickel
that's
and
all.
Dime situation. Yeah. We're at the wall.
So,
you know,
look,
and that's it.
If again, it's one bad apple to spoil the bunch. And I want to stress a thank you to everybody who has contributed.
Yes.
We love doing the show. Obviously, we've been doing it for 4 years.
Right.
We plan on doing it for many years more.
Uh-huh.
And all of your donations are appreciated, and hopefully we can continue to move forward successfully.
Right. So in that vein, having heard the arguments, if you feel like you'd like to, you know, donate us a couple of bucks for the repair, upkeep, rejuvenation of our equipment, which has fallen into some of it into disrepair beyond our abilities to repair it, and some of it just flat out needs to be replaced. Go over to Big Kev's Geek Stuff, find that donate button, and donate us a couple of bucks, and you'll never find to and a TBA amount of people who are more appreciative of what you're doing to help us than the people here at Big Kev's Geek Stuff, and that's the truth.
Geek Stuff, what's in the news?
And starting off with our own personal news this week.
Yes, OG is pregnant.
I am. I'm due soon. Another couple months.
No.
No, I'm not pregnant.
Stop it.
We have a change.
Yes.
To the show.
Yes. Our producer, Just Mike.
A beloved member.
Yes. And always is and always will be, has taken a personal leave of absence to the show, from the show, rather. And we do not know when or if he is coming back. So we're sending our good wishes out to Just Mike.
I hear that he's donning a cape and cowl and fighting crime at night.
Is that right?
That's what I heard. I heard that, he finished school and, uh-huh. and he was looking for a new career path.
And
crime fighting was it.
Good.
Well, there it is.
There it is. That said, though, we do want somebody for the third chair. So if you live in the northern New Jersey area.
Right.
And you'd like to come down and hang with us and think about being the producer for this show. And it sounds more grandiose than it is,
yeah,
I promise you.
Yeah.
I mean, you need no previous experience.
That's right.
We will train you.
Right.
And Old Restless need not apply.
Right.
And and if you think it might be something you'd like to do, you know, we'll tell you all about it. We'll have you down. You can sit in on a few shows, see if you like the feel of the chair. And, you know, if you like it, we gel and we get along just like we have with our other
producers
in the past. We will offer you that chair and you'll be part of fun and exciting opportunities that avail themselves to members of the Big Kev's Geek Stuff staff.
Right.
So, except the archive people, because they don't get nothing.
No, well, they have to, you know, have their paper.
You know the archives being overhauled, by the way?
Yes, I heard them furiously working down there.
Actually,
moving boxes. And,
there's a,
and as I understand it, you know, moving to a smaller location?
They've
Is that
actually,
possible?
They've actually found...
the Ark of the Covenant.
Well, no, I wish. They have actually found a whole host of items and things. I call it things.
Right.
That are going to start making their way into the Big Kev's Geek Stuff prize footlocker.
That's right. It used to be a footlocker. It's at storage closet now.
Right.
And in another couple weeks, we anticipate it may be at walk-in closet.
Right.
So.
Right.
So there it is.
And there are some great, again, some really good stuff that we have long forgot about that at this point is considered classic or and or difficult to come by,
right.
One might say.
Right.
So there it is.
Moving on.
Yes, sir.
Louis Leterrier. This guy apparently.
Oh, you know what? I hate to cut you off,
yeah.
But you know, we should say if you are interested.
Oh, right.
You should go over to your internet email browser thing and write geekstuffog@gmail.com.
That's right.
And let him know, give him some information so he can reach out to you or one of our assistants can reach out to you. And or you can call the hotline
425-920-6050.
Right. And leave the same sort of information and we'll get back to you. And yeah, we'd love to have you down if you're interested. So, Louis Leterrier.
Apparently, he's figured out how to clone himself. Make multiple versions of himself.
Okay, why is that?
Because, I think it was last week we heard that he was the one that was first in line to direct First Class.
X-Men
First Class.
Right.
And then we heard that Marvel was knocking on his door as the possible director of The Avengers.
Right.
And then we heard that Matthew K. Vaughn, along with, I forgot the production studio that's involved, is knocking on his door to direct Why the Last Man. So clearly, he's either doing all of these projects, none of these projects, or he's figured out how to clone himself.
Well, that, you know, it doesn't mean that they will necessarily be done back to back, sir.
No, but you. I mean, but, he could do. But at the very least, right? The two Marvel projects have a similar
time frame.
Time frame.
I don't think so.
I think so. I think like 2011, 2012 is for both of those projects.
Really?
And why has been boiling, you know, boiling in the works for quite some time. Now, again, we don't have a date, but I would think, you know, 2012 would be right around the same time. I'm just thinking that all three of those movies would potentially take a lot of his time. Hmm. And maybe I'm wrong. Maybe he'll do all three.
Maybe, but maybe we'll hear about he was not able to do it.
Maybe we will hear all about that.
And I'm guessing he'll maybe have to give up one of those projects.
And I think I just said Matthew Vaughn. Did I just say Matthew Vaughn for Why the Last Man? Or did I say Brian K. Vaughn?
I didn't hear you.
Well, I meant Brian K.
Yeah.
Because Matthew Vaughn.
I think you said Brian K.
Matthew Vaughn right now, who is the guy that's directing Kick-Ass.
Yes.
Rumor has it that his next project is going to be Bloodshot.
What's Bloodshot?
Bloodshot was that Valiant book. It's like a reanimated soldier guy. Remember he had the big red circle on his chest?
Really?
Yeah. I don't know. Like, I didn't even know that was something that was in the works. And
who was the last person to publish that?
I think it was Valiant.
Oh, was it Valiant?
Yeah. Okay. As far as I know. I don't know.
Well, that's terrible.
But apparently there's a script in the works.
Okay.
And Matthew Vaughn is the guy who looks like he might be pegged to direct the project.
Okay. Guess we'll see.
Based on the success of Tim Burton's Alice in Wonderland, we've talked about how Tim Burton wants to continue with Disney, this new forged relationship with Disney. And I think we even mentioned at one point in time that his next project was going to be Maleficent. That was a rumor.
Oh, I thought it was. Oh, no. He had picked up the rights to Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter.
Right. We talked about that. But long before that, a couple weeks before that, we had talked about that Maleficent looked like it was going to be the next kind of Disney adaptation movie that might come out of Tim Burton's studio. And it looks like the rumor mill is spinning for casting for Maleficent. And one Angelina Jolie is the first name on the list. Now, let's tackle this from every angle possible.
Who is Maleficent?
Maleficent is the evil queen in Sleeping Beauty.
Okay.
Becomes the giant dragon.
Right.
Black dragon, horns.
So, yeah, yeah.
Purple
thanks.
And green.
Got it.
And black.
Got it. Is this essentially Maleficent is going to be Sleeping Beauty told from her perspective?
Yes.
Okay.
So it's like a villain-oriented movie, which is big in the Disney world. Like the Disney villain thing, that's a big thing. Burton, obviously, relationship with Alice in Wonderland, obviously was successful box office wise, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
Angelina Jolie, certainly available. She's not doing Wanted 2, right?
Right.
I actually think she looks the part.
She like,
could. If you look at like the more modern, I don't want to say traditional, maybe some of the more modern like interpretations of Maleficent, she kind of looks right for that part. Like facial structure wise, she could fit into that role.
Okay.
Will she be good?
Who knows?
Will the script be good?
Who knows?
So I don't know.
But Tim Burton writing it? Not going to be good, I'm guessing.
Right.
As we all know, the prevailing theory is that when Tim Burton does his own material, it's terrific. But if Tim Burton adapts a story, it sucks butts. We've talked about that on the show.
We have. I don't entirely agree with that. But,
really?
But
then,
yeah.
then break it. I defy you to
I didn't mind Willy Wonka. Willy Wonka. If I looked at it as a different picture, if I looked at it as something completely different than the original Wonka and not as a remake of the original Wonka, right? Which it was supposed to be. It was not supposed to be a remake. I didn't entirely hate that movie.
It stunk.
I liked it. I thought it was all right.
Stunk on ice.
I also like Sleepy Hollow. So there you
also
go.
Also stunk on ice.
That's your opinion?
It's not Sleepy Hollow.
I understand it's not Sleepy Hollow.
It's like Alice in Wonderland. It's not Alice in Wonderland.
Call it Ichabod Crane. Call it whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, call it Ichabod Crane, which it isn't either.
Okay, well, I liked whatever it was, I liked it.
Exactly. If they had called that guy Joe Bob Maboob, it would have been a fine film.
Oh, and I actually like Sweeney Todd also. So there you go. I've given you three examples.
Sweeney Todd is the only one that even comes close to being acceptable and material that already existed.
Okay.
And even so, I still think...
What about Pee-wee? Does that count? It's technically not his material. But that movie was... I mean, you can't... Pee-wee's Big Adventure? Come
Did on. Tim Burton write that with Paul Reubens?
I don't know.
That would
I know
be,
he directed it. I don't know if he wrote
well,
it.
Well, if he had any hand in it in that sense, that would have been original material. And that was a good movie. So that works.
Okay.
Original material, good movie. Big Fish, good movie.
I liked Big Fish.
Edward Scissorhands, good movie.
I liked Edward Scissorhands.
Nightmare
liked,
Before Christmas, good movie.
I liked Beetlejuice.
Good Beetlejuice, movie. Good movie.
So there you
See?
Go.
There's a pattern.
Okay.
Therefore, Maleficent has a grim future.
I mean, unless he's writing something original. I don't know. But anyway, bad news, I guess, if you're a Maleficent fan.
Guess so.
Maybe not. 24. Dead.
Done. We said it like 2 weeks ago, and somebody wrote us and said, they haven't decided absolutely yet, and it was absolutely decided.
I'd look to put a beg and plea out to NBC. Please don't pick it up.
Is the rumor that they're trying to pick it up?
The rumor is that NBC may pick it up and run with it.
Well,
and I beg and I implore that you let it die.
Well, listen.
This season has been abysmal.
Right.
Let it do a movie. I'm okay with them ending on a movie.
Right.
Do a movie. Let Jack get a graceful bow out.
I thought.
Please don't pick it up. The show is over.
I thought Kiefer Sutherland didn't want to do it anymore.
No, Kiefer I don't think Sutherland. So.
Yes, sir. The news is that Kiefer Sutherland and whoever the producing studio was agreed about the fact that the show had run its course, and if they could get a feature movie done, they would do it. But otherwise, the show had run its course.
Well, I keep hearing that NBC wants to pick it up. Well,
NBC may want to pick it up.
Maybe NBC will pick it up and just
kill it.
Well, no, maybe they'll continue the premise of the show.
Replace it.
Maybe they'll continue the premise of the show, but
right.
with somebody new, which would not be good. That bad, bad. Is NBC the one that did that with Scrubs? I don't remember.
That was ABC.
Oh.
I think.
Oh, that's dead too. That new Scrubs, and
yeah.
It's over too. That's,
good.
That's done with. So there you go.
Okay.
All right. In the Marvel news this week, we don't have any Marvel news this week.
Good.
But there is some fan work going on.
Yes.
Whenever we hear big casting, right? Or even before we hear big casting.
Rumors.
Right. Fans always take it upon themselves to cast who they want or imagine what the character will look like in the movie.
Let's take Nathan Fillion as Green Lantern.
As Green Lantern. That's
somebody
the one I was thinking
film.
Of. Right. And it was awesome. It was great.
It was awesome, yeah.
So someone has taken Chris Evans and capped him up.
Yes.
He looks fucking great.
Photoshopped him into that uniform.
If you know what? If that's what he looks like at the end of the movie... Right, because he really shouldn't look like that at the beginning. Oh, well, I guess he could, right?
It's an origin story.
Yeah. He looks fantastic, dude. That's a good looking, that is a good interpretation, and he fits in it well.
Well, let's take this opportunity to say that if you'd like to see the picture that we're talking about, you want to go over to BigKevsGeekStuff.com and check out the picture gallery for episode 180, what, six?
Six.
Yes. Or if you're listening to us on iTunes or on your iPod or iPhone or iPad or QuickTime, you can see some of the related images to things that we're talking about. They pop up right on the device as we're talking about them. It's a feature that we enjoy here on Big Kev's Geek Stuff. But yes, you're absolutely right. The picture is amazing, and if he looks half that good, I think we're in for a great picture.
Does the name David Hayter mean anything to you?
Well, the word hater means something to me, and it's because it's you. And what do I mean?
Yeah.
What do I mean, Laverne and Shirley?
Oh.
What? The Jamie Foxx, Laverne and Shirley is going to be...
Now, that's rumor and speculation, and I would eat crow 100 times over if it
happened. Wow, it's funny how you bring up crow because your racist comments last week about Jamie Foxx wanting to do Laverne and Shirley. Oh, and guess what came out? It's going to be Jennifer Garner.
That's not confirmed, but the rumor is that it's going to be Jennifer Garner
Jessica Biel. Yeah.
Good for him.
Uh-huh.
Break that stereotype.
Right.
Make me wrong.
Uh-huh.
Good for him.
You really should not wear the hood to
the episode
to shows. Yeah. I mean, really, you shouldn't.
All
All right, fine. Okay, OG Hater. So
David Hater.
I wonder if there's a character out there named OG Hater.
Do you know who he is?
David Hater, director, H-A-Y-T-E-R.
Yes. Uh-huh. He's a voice actor.
Voice actor.
He writes.
Course. That's what I meant.
Yeah. He worked on the script of X-Men.
Of course
he worked
did.
On the Watchmen script,
yes.
Scorpion King script, et cetera, et cetera.
Wow,
He
just really
hit.
You were like, one of these kids is doing his own thing.
Yeah. All right. He's also the English voice actor for Snake in Metal Gear Solid.
Metal
Gear games?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Uh-huh. So he is looking to direct a new werewolf movie. And as best as I could tell, it's based on something original. I don't think it's based on something that previously exists.
Okay. Got no problem with new werewolf stories.
But Thomas Dekker and Ray Stevenson are two names that they're throwing around that would be cast in it.
Thomas Dekker. Why do I know that?
Terminator
name?
The Sarah Connor Chronicles. He was what's his name? He was
nobody cares.
He was the lead. What is his name?
John Connor.
Thank you. Christ almighty on a cracker. And
could have at least went the boy Connor or
and
something.
Ray Stevenson.
Ray Stevenson, of course, from Rome.
Right.
And
Punisher
War Journal Zone.
Zone.
War Zone.
So there you go.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Like new werewolf material. Do you see The Wolfman?
I haven't seen The Wolfman yet, no.
Good movie. No.
I should say that story was listener sent news.
Oh, well. And of course, if
we encourage that.
Yeah, if you'd like to send us an idea or something you'd like to hear us talk about, by all means, you can always write geekstuffog@gmail.com. But what you should do is call our hotline.
425-920-6050.
Yes, exactly. And leave us a message over there, and you might hear yourself on an upcoming episode of Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
So, thank you to Agent Smith for submitting that.
Yes, thank you, Agent Smith. Have we heard from Chad yet?
No, not yet. Maybe he's just thinking that he's mulling it over.
And then weighing his options?
Right.
I understand.
Jane Espenson, uh-huh. Brett Matthews, Jose Molina, Bed Endland are...
Yay.
Joining forces with Titan Books to write Firefly.
Take my love, take my land, take me where I cannot stand. I don't care, I'm still free, you can't take the sky from me. Take me out to the black, tell them I ain't coming back. Burn the land and boil the sea. Take the sky from me.
Uh-huh. Good. Thank
Still
you.
Flying. This is it's a nostalgic look back on the TV show and movie. But it will include
Wait. It's a look back at the TV show.
Yes. And movie.
Okay. So, which TV show?
I'm not saying. Once is enough.
Oh, I'm just saying. I want everyone to be clear. Maybe people don't know what you're talking about.
In addition to this.
Uh-huh.
It is going to include original short stories by some of those persons I just mentioned. Jane Espenson, who, for those of you who don't know, Jane Espenson wrote a bunch of the actual episodes of the show. She also wrote episodes of Battlestar Galactica.
Don't you have some money signed by her?
I do. She signed my my book.
Oh, the book.
And I have a bill signed by her as well.
Right.
So what holds us down?
Called?
I'm not saying it again. You got me once.
Well, what's the series called? The book series.
Still Flying.
Just Still Flying?
That's it. The title of that show, Still Flying. I ain't saying it.
All right, just saying.
So there are going to be three short stories as well as an illustrated story in the book. And there you go. That's coming out later this year. We'll talk about it a little bit more when we get the release date and it gets closer to that time.
Okay.
Will Smith may officially be set to star in
Overboard,
Independence Day 2,
no,
and possibly 3.
No.
According to reports, 20th Century Fox is moving forward with a sequel for Independence Day with Will Smith.
100 years later?
Well, if you remember in recent interviews with Roland Emmerich, right? Uh-huh. Around the time of 2012, he talked about how he wanted to do more Independence Day movies.
Okay.
So there you go.
How sad.
So there you go. We may get two and possibly three Independence Day.
I may barf and possibly die.
AMC has officially greenlit and picked up The Walking Dead for a six episode series to start off.
Just six episodes to start off, and it's AMC.
It's AMC.
That's
based on the comic book series by Robert Kirkman.
That's what worries me.
Directed by Frank Darabont.
That's what worries me.
Why does that worry you?
Because A, it's AMC, so it's cable, but it's not real cable. You know, it's not like they can get away with.
Well, they can get away with some good stuff.
Yeah, but some stuff, not everything. God, if they could get away with real stuff, Mad Men would be the best show on TV because they'd have Christina Hendricks naked. But the point is that they can only get away with so much stuff. Now, in its plus column, the book's amazing.
The book is amazing.
And also in the plus column, Frank Darabont is amazing. So, I mean, it has a lot of pluses, but I'm still concerned that it didn't end up on a paid channel, is what I'm saying.
Begins production in June, premieres in October of this year during AMC's Fear Fest.
Uh-huh.
And six episodes will comprise season one, and it'll go from there.
So if it does any kind of business at all, well, we're going to have to make sure we push that a lot.
Well, my guess is that the international built-in audience, right? Because the book is huge,
yeah,
and there are fans all over the world.
True.
They're going to flock to it.
Uh-huh.
I can't imagine it not doing well. So
I hear you.
So kudos to that. Okay. I think we can take our first break.
All right.
We'll I need
be
a breather.
Right back. With, what?
I need a breather.
Oh, a breather. I see. And as we head into this break, let us remind you to participate in the Big Kev's Geek Stuff Begathon 2010 by going over to the website, finding that donate button in the upper right-ish hand corner of the page, and donating a couple of bucks to help us repair, rejuvenate, and in some cases replace the equipment that helps us bring you Big Kev's Geek Stuff each and every week. And that is where each and every dime of your donation is going to go, just so we're, you know, clear about that. And we're not
right.
Suffering idiots' speculations. And with that, we'll be right back with Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 186, 4 years and counting.
Hey, this is OG. Big Kev's Geek Stuff reaches tons of listeners each month across multiple platforms, and now so can you. If you're trying to reach the geek community, Big Kev's Geek Stuff offers some great advertising opportunities for your products or services at great rates. You won't find a better way to reach your target market than through advertising with Big Kev's Geek Stuff. So head over to BigKev'sGeekStuff.com and click on the advertising link and start reaching potential new buyers immediately.
Wow. With all the flair and delivery of a corpse.
Hey, this is Aaron Douglas, Chief Tyrell from Battlestar Galactica. You're listening to Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
And we are back with Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 186, 4 years and counting.
Nice, you got
tick-tock,
the title right.
Tick-tock. I wrote it down on my hand this
nice.
Time.
Nice.
Very smart. I didn't lick it first. Let's get right into it.
Geek Stuff, DVD News.
All right, out this week. Some good releases this week.
Yes.
Not really.
I didn't get any, so.
Well, you know.
Just saying.
Money, you know.
No, I'm just saying.
Sherlock Holmes out on DVD this week, both the regular edition and the Blu-ray combo pack.
Yes, if I were to get one, it would be the Blu-ray combo pack.
Which comes with the digital copy, the Blu-ray copy, and the DVD copy.
Which is a nice thing. I mean, that's I got to think at this point, that should be the popular release method. You know what I mean? If you can do that method, you should be doing that method because it's nice for people like me who are in the middle of kind of converting over to Blu-ray, but aren't able to, you know, who aren't able to play Blu-ray yet per se, but still want to watch the movie more immediately?
I both like and dislike that method.
Okay, why?
I like what I believe is the case behind this. I have not picked anything up this week either, I should say, so we don't have anything in hand. But what I like about this is that the Blu-ray release is the combo pack. And that's it.
Yeah.
That's the only Blu-ray release.
Okay.
What Disney did, at least for the Frog Princess last week, was there was a regular release, there was a Blu-ray release, and then there was a Blu-ray combo release, which is different than they had done in the past. And I think there was a price difference of a couple of bucks.
Okay.
I don't agree with that.
That there should be a price difference of a couple of bucks?
No. I think that if you're going to do... I don't think you need a Blu-ray release and then a Blu-ray combo release. It should just be one or the other.
Yeah.
Because it kind of sucks. Like, for me, for example, in that case, I did not buy the combo. I bought just the Blu-ray.
Right.
Because it wasn't worth the extra $6 for me to get the other things.
But with all due respect, sir, you don't need the other things.
I understand that. But I don't... But for example, right, this Sherlock Holmes is likely going to be the same price as the regular Blu-ray edition of Frog Princess or thereabouts.
Okay.
My point being is that it's really Disney kind of just
jacking
you for a couple extra bucks.
Yeah.
And it's kind of a shitty thing to do.
I see the point.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Look, I mean, obviously you have control over what it is you choose to purchase.
Right.
But come on, just do it. All right. Alvin and the Chipmunks, the Squeakquel.
Yes, the Squeakquel.
That is not a good thing that we're recommending this week.
It isn't? But it's the Squeakquel.
No. Are we? No.
That's the funniest
and
word ever.
And that's an Education came out this week.
Oh, that I heard that's a good flick.
So you can grab that.
That chick is cute, too.
And I think that's it.
That's
it really was
really?
Kind of a slow week, yeah.
No TV, no old
not
stuff?
Not really. No, I mean, there's some old stuff. The Killer, Chow Yun-Fat's movie out on
Blu-ray
this
really?
Week.
That, see, that's important,
Collateral
sir.
Out on Blu-ray this week.
The Killer is important on Blu-ray.
Deadliest
Collateral?
Catch season
5.
All right.
You're delving into the ridiculous.
Rhoda season 2.
Okay. We get it. Shut up.
IMAX Under the Sea.
You can just keep rolling right through the crap.
How about a night of 140 tweets?
How about a night of shut the fuck up?
Geek stuff. Comic news.
Smell that? That's the smell of new comic books.
Comics to check out this week. Not many, at least on my part, but I know you have some also, so I kind of curtailed mine a little bit so you'd have some space, because I'm like that. Gotham City Sirens, a really good book being written by Paul Dini. It's Catwoman, Harley Quinn, and Poison Ivy, and they are all kind of having these sort of adventures together, and it's a nice book by Paul Dini. Andres Guinaldo and Raul Fernandez are handling the art and coloring and things, so check that out from DC. Also from DC this week, it's The Web, number 7, with the second feature, The Hangman. I got to say, I like the Web story.
Okay.
It's really good. The Hangman is making this book.
Awesome.
The Hangman is making this book absolutely viable. Is that the right word? Is a must-have. The Hangman story is making this book a must-have.
Okay.
The art and the story are terrific. Why on earth, with all due respect to The Web, did they decide to make The Web the lead and The Hangman the second story? Because I really think Hangman could be holding his own here with The Web in the supporting second feature role. That's just my opinion.
All right.
Great book, though. And another great book, it's Kevin Smith and Jonathan Lau presenting Green Hornet, issue 2. Now, amongst the many, many covers... And there are, I mean, this is crazy. If I'm reading this correctly, there are nine covers for this book?
Almost as many releases as The Dark Knight on DVD.
I really think there is nine covers for this book. There's the Alex Ross cover, which I got, which features the car. There is a John Cassaday cover. There is a Joe Benitez cover. I mean, these are both great covers. In my opinion, they just don't touch the Alex Ross cover, but that's my personal opinion. There's a Steven Segovia cover. There's a retailer insensitive John Cassaday cover, which is black and white. There is a retailer incentive Alex Ross cover, which is black and white. It looks like the sketch work. There is a retailer incentive incentive Joe Benitez cover, which is black and white. There is a green foil John Cassaday cover. And there is a retailer shared exclusive color limited edition green foil also available. So technically there are 10 covers to this book.
Wow. I lost you somewhere after the second one.
Yeah.
I zoned out.
Covers to this book.
That's ridiculous.
Absolutely ridiculous. Dynamite has gone off the stupid deep end. This is not Marvel 1988. Enough with the alternative and incentive covers. Nobody cares. You know who cares? Guys who sell them on eBay for $100 a pop. That's who cares. You know? And you know why they're doing this? You hear me say incentive covers? What that means is, for those of you that don't know, is that if you, as a retailer, if you buy 100 issues of this book, we're going to send you one Alex Ross cover.
Exactly.
One Alex Ross sketch cover. Right? Now, you might be able to get $100 or $150 for that cover, but guess what? You also have to sell 100 copies of this book.
Right, exactly.
Now, I'm not saying you're not going to sell 100 copies. I think it's good enough that you should easily sell 100 copies. That clearly isn't the case with all these books, though. I mean, you're not going to sell 100 copies of all the books sharing 9, 10 covers, rather.
Right.
And I think it's gotten a little, and by a little I mean a lot, out of hand.
Correct.
So
I agree.
There it is. Still a great book. Kevin Smith, Jonathan Lau's Green Hornet number 2. Check it out. On the back, they're advertising the Green Hornet Strikes.
Yes, I heard about this.
In a near future, heroes have long been forgotten until now. So it looks like they have Green Hornet in the past with Green Hornet Year One.
Right.
Green Hornet in the future to near present with Kevin Smith's story. And Green Hornet of the future in Green Hornet Strikes. So they are getting every ounce of Green Hornet out that they possibly can.
Right.
In the trade section this week, I picked up Do Androids Dream of Electric Sheep? Sleep. Do Androids Dream of Electric Sheep, Volume 2 hardcover.
Now, Do Androids Dream of Electric Sheep, that's what Blade Runner is based on. Is that
correct? And that's all over this book. The inspiration for Blade Runner was a novel by Philip K. Right. Dick called Do Androids Dream of Electric Sheep. That's what this is. This is from Boom Studios. This is actually a book adaptation of the original book. So don't pick this up expecting to see Blade Runner, because
right.
you're going to be, you may be
woefully
a little
disappointed.
You may be a little slash a lot confused by it. Philip K. Dick, by the way, died in 1982.
That's sad.
Which I did not know. And it is too bad, because
he wrote some great shit.
He was ahead of his time in that regard. And yeah. I think that had he lived, he would be, you know, I don't say he would be the Spielberg of today, because Spielberg's a filmmaker.
Right.
But he would be like the Stephen King of future sci-fi
movies, maybe.
Books and things, I think. Because, I mean, if you've never read Philip K. Dick, you ought to. The novels, and of course, you can always check out the Boom Studios, boom-studios.com, Boom Studios version of Do Androids Dream of Electric Sheep. This is coming out in single issues, but I'm collecting it in the hardcover trades. This particular one collects issues 5 through 8, and I believe there may be 6 trades of this type, I think, something like that. So there it is. Check that out from Boom Studios. Okay. Lastly tonight, an art book, and we don't get a lot of these, and it's going to be no surprise why we got this one. It's called Rough Justice, the DC Comics Sketches of Alex Ross, edited by Chip Kidd. Now, if you don't know who Chip Kidd is, Chip Kidd puts out all these amazing art books about different guys who work in the industry. And I think he's done every book. Has he done every book, I think, related to DC and Alex Ross,
maybe.
I think? Well, what you're getting here, my peoples, is a beautiful, beautiful over I can't even tell you because the pages aren't numbered at some point. It's just a volume of Alex Ross DC sketchwork from a lot of the famous covers that you're aware of, prints, design work for different projects, which includes stuff like Mythology, the Mythology book, the Justice series, the Kingdom Come stuff, a whole host of things, black and white pencil sketches, some pre-colored stuff, some full-out colored stuff, notes that he's written himself, design work for different characters. This is amazing. It is absolutely an amazing, amazing thing. And it's going to run you $30, but if you're an Alex Ross fan or a DC fan, it's well worth it. You're going to see a lot of how the great Alex Ross artwork for DC gets made, and that's really well worth any price, is what I say. I don't know. What do you think of that, OG?
Yeah, it's certainly a good price for a book like that. I mean, it's a hefty hardcover, fancy schmancy book.
Right, and
I'd pay it.
There's a whole bunch of places you can check it out. Pantheonbooks.com, P-A-N-T-H-E-O-N books.com, DCComics.com, AlexRossArt.com. You can check it out at all those different places or go to a bookstore and more than check it out, purchase it and you'll own it and you'll love it.
Also out this week, for those of you following the Rise and Fall storyline, JLA number 43 continues that. So you may want to check that out if you're a JLA fan or a Rise and Fall, you want to follow that story. From Dynamite, this doesn't have 10 covers. It only has 3.
Oh.
A, B, and an incentive cover.
I see.
Robert Jordan's The Wheel of Time, number 1, Eye of the World, is out this week, written by Robert Jordan. But that's the credit they give, written by Robert Jordan. I kind of find that interesting. But then script by Chuck Dixon.
Yeah, that's the person adapting
it. And then
Chuck Dixon's a good shit. So
yeah, Dixon does some good stuff. Mm-hmm. And then artwork by Chase Conlane. So number one of that is out this week. And then by Mark Millar and McNiven, Nemesis, number one this week from Icon Studios, makes Kick-Ass look like shit.
It says that right on the cover there.
Right on the front of the book.
So, well, you'll have to let us know how that is because... I'd be interested in reading the trade of that.
Right. Right. When it comes out.
Which I will pick up in a discount bin and blah, whatever. Whatever your line is. We're reversing.
What's that
music? Is that the D&D intro?
Yeah, that's right. How's it feel?
Fighting with the
suck.
It's D&D.
You have some D&D music? Is that why you're rudely interrupting me with the D&D
yes.
music?
Yes.
Wow. Pretty rude.
I believe it was 2 weeks ago. Today, we issued a challenge to our listeners.
Yes.
Shady Dragonin.
Right. So
something we talk about fondly on this show.
It's actually the Shady Dragonin contest, sir.
Yes,
and the Shady, for those of you that don't know, first of all, I see you brought it with you. We are our D&D update of the week, which I guess is what OG is attempting to do here. Usually focuses on the fourth edition of D&D and their brand new line of products, which you can check out at D&D Insider. That's letter D, letter N, letter D, insider.com, where you can check out all the fine products from our friends at Wizards of the Coast. However, back in the day when D&D was owned by a little company called TSR, they put out an accessory called the Shady Dragon Inn, which is... which most players who know about it are very fond of. OG is a little obsessed about it. But that aside, we did issue a challenge, the Shady Dragon Inn challenge. We had come into some information that a very old fanzine publication, this is usually a self-printed publication that was produced by fans for fans way back in the early 80s. Used to publish things. What would you call them? Like not accessories, but like
articles.
Articles. For example, it's the
expanded information.
Yeah, exactly.
Right, on D&D products that were coming out, fan-made stuff. So not implying or contradicting any copyrights or anything. And we had learned that there had actually been an expansion article written about the Shady Dragon Inn in a fanzine called Polyhedron.
Right, from the RPGA Network.
Yes, which was the governing body of all role-playing games there for a while. So, we issued the challenge that if anyone was able to send us a copy of this article, they would win a humongous prize.
Right.
Or at least a decent prize.
Right.
And lo and behold,
someone went above and beyond.
Someone actually got the magazine.
Someone actually got a copy of Polyhedron number 16, which contains therein.
What year?
You know, I'm trying to find the year, but I'm not quite sure.
No publishing date on it? Well, let's just say that to understand how difficult it is to find such a thing, for these sort of fan-made publication, fanzine sort of things, there weren't very many of them made. In some cases, a couple of hundred. You know, let me give you an example. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, number one, which is a comic book, I understand. The first run of which was like, what was it, like 1,100 issues? If I don't even think it was that many. Maybe
small.
Half of that. And the point is that, of course, not only is it ridiculously hard to find now, but it's very expensive. But, you know, that is a popular franchise. This is just an old role-playing rag magazine fanzine thing. And the fact that our winner actually found an issue of this magazine intact and in good shape and containing the article.
1984, by the way.
84 is nothing short of a miracle. And what is the winner's name, sir?
Rob. I don't know. Rob L. I don't want to give out his last name.
Rob L. from where?
From right here. In New Jersey.
Really?
He's a local boy. Met me to hand deliver this.
Wow. Rob right. L. from New Jersey is going to win a fabulous prize. Should we say what the prize is? Yes, we will. The prize is it's the Dungeons & Dragons version of the board game known as HeroScape.
Right.
It's a starter set. It's huge. It's got tons of pieces in it. It's if you've never heard of HeroScape, it's kind of a cross-time board game, miniature game thing.
I was going to say, it comes with some nice... Yeah, some nice miniatures in there.
Huge, huge following about the game. And Wizards of the Coast and D&D, the D&D brand decided to put out a D&D version or a D&D starter kit of this game. And our winner, what was the name again? Rob L. From New Jersey is going to get that fabulous prize. And we hope he enjoys it. Now, what have you gleaned from the article?
Well, I thought we should talk a little bit about what this supplemental article contains.
Okay.
I had to refresh myself on what the original contained.
Okay.
I had a vague recollection that the original contained...
You own the original.
Oh, yes, so. I know.
Okay. So I'm confused as to why you would have recollections rather
because
than...
Because when he handed it to me...
Oh, I see.
And I opened it up in front of him and I was looking at it, I was like, I thought that was... But maybe it wasn't. One of those kinds of things.
Right.
So I went back...
Right.
And I looked.
Got it.
This contains specifically the staff.
Right.
Of the Shady Dragon Inn, which I thought was in the original content.
No.
But it was not.
No, sir.
It was not. We always made that up. We
yes.
always rolled our own NPCs for those roles.
Yes, we did.
So this includes Sam, the owner.
Sam.
Friar
Frodo.
Fergus.
What?
Friar Fergus.
Okay.
Who is the cook?
Oh, okay. Good.
Lachlan is the ostler. O-S-T-L-E-R.
Of course, OG and ostler is a stable boy.
Right.
Person who cleans and mucks the stable.
And for those of you who remember the Shady Dragon Inn,
uh-huh.
right out front, there was a hitching post.
Right.
And I believe off to the side, there was actually a stable.
A
of
small
sorts.
Stable. So I believe you're correct about that.
And then in addition to that, two serving wenches. Gwyn and Aradine.
Okay.
Taking a
Gwyn
lot.
Gwyn and Aradine, the serving wenches.
Pronouncing that.
Okay.
So you have that, and you have all of their stats.
Right.
Old school style stats.
Nice.
And then in addition to that, you have specifics on the furniture in the room, like the stats for the furniture, which is something we always took for granted, except that the Shady Dragon Inn was often a place of many a fight.
Yes, very true.
And, you know, perhaps you were ducking behind a table and a flaming arrow came through the window and you hoped that that table didn't explode or could withstand that. Now you know.
Now you know.
It's there laid out for you.
There you go.
In addition to that,
uh-huh,
several items that are around the inn, perhaps a cudgel hanging on the wall.
Oh.
Or what kind of tonics and potions does Sam have hidden behind the bar?
Nice.
That perhaps if you knew what you're looking for, you could ask on the sly.
There you go.
It's a great sign. It's a great, and it's not very long. It's only a couple of pages.
Right.
But for those of you who utilize the Shady Dragon Inn, it is a nice addition to an already awesome supplement.
So there it is. Run out to your local hobby store and ask them if they have Polyhedron Magazine number 16 from 1984. Because you want to read all about the denizens of the Shady Dragon Inn, the supplement from Old School D&D. And congratulations again to our winner, Rob L. from New Jersey. We're going to get you that D&D Heroescape game. Great, humongous box full of stuff. Just as soon as OG gets your information. And that is our D&D update for the week.
It's D&D! Warriors that terrify. It's D&D.
Geek stuff. Product reviews.
Product this week. We have two pieces to get through really quick. This week, the first in a brand new series of sculptural pieces from DC Direct came out. They're calling them Gotham City Stories. Sir, I'm gonna read the flavor text. Looking out over the cityscape of Gotham, the Dark Knight is ready to soar through the night on a caped wing. As the denizens of the city slumber, they are secure within their beds, knowing they are safe under the watchful eye of their dark protector. Each piece in the Gotham City Stories series tells a story in 3D on its own. When multiple pieces in the series are displayed together in a variety of different ways, new and different stories are portrayed. So there it is. And basically what it is it looks like the window in kind of an old school building, right? The kind that's still open. Each one of the pieces, and we have Batman here with us, who's the first one, coming in May as Catwoman, Joker in August. Harley is coming down the line also. I think it was just solicited this month. So she's coming down the line. And all the windows are generally look the same. Right. So you can, and these hang on a wall. It's like a 3D relief. So you can kind of hang these together and it'll look like sort of the side of a building after a while. You know what I mean there, OG?
I do.
And I think it's really neat. It's different. It's different than a bust or a statue or these other kind of things that have been going on and perpetuating forever. This is a really different idea. I think it's really great. Batman is coming out of a window full of bullet holes. He has a batarang and a cable. Looks like he's ready to swing off to some other building. I can tell you the Catwoman looks like she's just come out of a bank vault. Joker is jumping out of the window with two bags of money in his hand. Looks like there's some green Joker-looking smoke in the background. So, you know, it's a great piece, a great idea. I'm glad they decided to pick up and run with it. Sculpted by Joseph Mena. And each one of them is limited to 2,500 pieces. Gonna run you, I think these are running about $100, I'm gonna say. And well worth it. It's a nice size, you know, nice size, different piece, full color. I think you're doing really well when you can take a product like this, an idea like this, bring it to market and be successful. And I think that's exactly what's gonna happen with Gotham City Stories. First piece out now. Batman measures 5 3/4 inches tall, 5 3/4 inches wide, and 2.5 inches deep. There it is. Check it out. Go to dccomics.com/DC Direct to see and hear about more of the great Gotham City Story pieces that are coming up.
I have tonight something for the Twitter fans out there,
of
which there are many.
Oh, boy.
If you are an iPhone user or a Mac user, you probably heard of a client called Twitterific. Kind of, it's more than just your basic Twitter page. It kind of helps you with your lists and your groups, your followers, direct messages, etc.
Speaking Greek to me.
I know. It's all Greek to you. Just well, Twitterific is a program developed by the Icon Factory. And the Icon Factory, along with Strange Kiss, who puts out... vinyl and designer vinyl toys and stuff like that, along with sculptor David Lanham and designer David Lanham, put out Ollie, the Twitterific bird, this week.
Ah, that's the blue bird that you often see associated with the Twitter.
Right. So now Twitter's got like a little blue bird kind of icon, and then Twitterific actually has Ollie, which is this specific bird.
Oh, I see.
Their icon.
Got it.
Which is really a play on the Twitter bird. I mean, they're all linked together.
Sure.
But it's a great little vinyl piece. You know, if you're a Twitter fan, definitely something you might want to have. If you're just a toy collector in general and you like blue birds, it's a cute little piece. I do want to say it's light. No points of articulation on it, though. Nothing on it spins. Although the legs look like they might, but I don't think so.
I would like to ask at this time, if you are a toy collector who collects Bluebird toys, could you write geekstuffog@gmail.com and we will give you a prize? But you have to be able to prove it with photographic evidence.
Of other Bluebird toys that you collect?
I'm just saying.
So, yeah, actually, you know, it's a neat little piece. I'm actually really happy to have it in my collection. There are three versions of the bird out right now. There is the...
Three versions?
There is the flocked version of the bird.
Okay.
There is the unflocked version of the bird. And,
naked.
You know, the flocked and unflocked are blue with, you know, the yellow details for the beak and legs. And then,
please tell me the other one is a steampunk version.
No.
Darn.
It is a monochromatic. It's mono, black and white.
Got it.
I believe that the blue and the flocked might be sold out.
Okay.
But you can definitely go over to Twitterific or iconfactory.com to check. And Strange Kiss also. I think all three sites are selling them. And the black and white version is still available. That one I know for sure. So if you are interested, if you're a fan of Twitter, if you're a fan of any of, Twitterific, any of these sculptors, designers, companies, definitely something you may want to check out. Ollie, the Twitterific bird from Strange Kiss.
And with that, we'll take our last break. And we'll be right back with the Chad P. from Ohio wrap-up to Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 186, 4 years and counting.
Hey, Kev, have you checked out the Home of Happiness over in Montclair, New Jersey?
Who's the Home of Happiness again?
You know, that group. They do that show. There's dancing.
The Rocky Horror Picture Show?
That's the one.
I hear that they are... in Montclair, the first and third Saturdays of the month, and in Bergenfield, New Jersey, on the second and fourth Saturdays of the month.
Oodalolly.
Yes, all shows are Saturday night at midnight, uncut movie with a live floor show cast.
Love the live floor show.
Costumes and participation are encouraged. Admission is $7, and prop bags are $2.
Fancy.
You get the toast in there, I think, and some rice, maybe.
Rice.
You can check them out over at njrocky.com.
Wowzer.
And you can find out where these shows in Montclair and Bergenfield are and how you can be involved. And you have a great time at the Rocky Horror Picture Show. It's a lot of fun.
The Rocky Horror Picture Show. The king of cult films live in a movie theater near you.
Brought to you by the Home of Happiness.
Hey, freaks.
Master, we have a visitor.
This is Barry Boswick, sometimes known as Brad Majors, and I'm talking to Big Kev.
How did it happen?
And you're listening to him now on Big Kev's Geek Stuff. Keep listening, you freaks.
I made you, and I can break you just as easily.
Geek Stuff is wrapping up.
And we are back with Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 186, 4 years and counting.
Uh-huh. OG, in the Chad P. from Ohio wrap-up, what did we talk about on this episode of Big Kev's Geek Stuff?
Louis Leterrier is directing everything, apparently, this week. Angelina Jolie is going to be Maleficent. 24 has come to an end, as long as NBC is smart and sticks to its senses.
Uh-huh.
Matthew Vaughn is going to be directing Bloodshot. Ugh. I don't know why. Will Smith is set to do Independence Day 2 and possibly 3. The Walking Dead comes to AMC this October as part of its Fear Fest. Also, Jane Espenson, along with a bunch of other writers, are bringing us Firefly.
Take my love, take my land, take me where I cannot stand. I don't care, I'm still free, you can't take the sky from me. Take me out to the black, tell them I ain't coming back. Burn the land and boil the sea, you can't take the sky from me.
Still flying, which will include some new short stories and illustrated stories from the series, as well as some other information about the show and the movie.
You know, when you say that, it interrupts the Chad P. from Ohio wrap-up. I'm sorry, Chad P. from Ohio.
David Hayter is going to be directing some unnamed, unsourced werewolf movie, which may star Ray Stevenson and Thomas Dekker, and fans are all aglow and doing their own Chris Evans cap.
Yeah, that one we've seen is excellent.
Fantastic.
In segment two, we talked about some DVD releases.
Not a whole lot that came out this week. We wanted to point out not Alvin and the Chipmunks, the Squeakquel.
Squeakquel.
But definitely we wanted to point out Sherlock Holmes out on disc this week. Uh-huh. That's probably the biggest one.
Right. And then in comics. In comics, we asked you to check out Kevin Smith and Jonathan Lau's Green Hornet number 2. DC Comics The Web number 7. Gotham City Sirens number 10. In the trade category, I picked up Do Androids Dream of Electric Sleep hardcover volume 2.
Electric Sheep.
Did I say sleep again? I've been having problems with that. Rough Justice, the DC Comics sketches of Alex Ross edited by Chip Kidd, another fantastic book to pick up. OG, you had some comics to recommend, didn't you?
Millar McNiven's Nemesis, issue 1 out this week. Robert Jordan's The Wheel of Time by Chuck Dixon and Chase Conley, issue 1 out this week. And for those of you following Rise and Fall, JLA number 43 out this week.
And in the product segment tonight, we talked about the first inaugural piece in the Gotham City Stories line of three-dimensional wall relief artwork in the Batman universe, of course. And it's Batman, surprisingly. So check that out over at dccomics.com/DC.
And Ollie, the Twitterific Bird by Strange Kiss, Icon Factory, David Lanham, amongst others. Check it out if you're a fan. Definitely a nice little piece to have. And again, congratulations to Rob L.
Rob L.
for providing us with Polyhedron Magazine number 16, the Shady Dragon Inn supplement.
Yes, Rob L. is going to win the HeroScape D&D edition board game starter set thing, because this thing can expand
all kinds
of ways and stuff.
Oh, yeah, it's mad
so
crazy.
This is kind of a starter set thing provided to us by our friends over at Wizards of the Coast.
Don't forget, you can check us out each and every week over at BigKevsGeekStuff.com, where we have all of our episodes, video segments, T-shirts for sale. New T-shirts, I think, coming down the pipeline. For realsies this time.
Yeah, for realsies. Two new designs coming very soon to the website.
Also, don't forget to...
Go over to iTunes.
Go over to iTunes, subscribe, and leave us a review. Thank you to the people who have done that recently.
Yes.
We greatly appreciate
we
it, obviously.
Indeed.
And for those of you feeling generous and knowing now and sleeping better at night knowing that we're not buying DVDs and useless
morons,
you can make a donation to the Big Kev's Geek Stuff Begathon so that we can hopefully upgrade, improve, and expand upon the show and some of our equipment going forward. And, again, perhaps if you're local to the northern New Jersey area and you're interested in maybe joining this motley group of fun-loving individuals.
Yes.
Drop us an email, geekstuffog@gmail.com. The producer's seat once again open. And that's it.
Yeah.
I think we can.
Micabus Prime need not apply. I don't think he would do it anymore.
I don't think so. I don't think any of our previous producers, they've all moved on to bigger and better things.
It's just
Governor,
relative.
Their own projects, musical interests, and fighting crime. They've all moved on to their own individual things.
Yes, that's true.
So there it is.
There it is.
Thank you for 4 years.
Yes. And next week, 4 years and 1 week.
Right.
And on that note, we cue the music.